She Talks Asia seeks to be a microphone for voices and ideas that can make an impact for women around the world. We believe in the power of sharing stories and sparking necessary conversations with some of the most interesting and inspiring female figures we've come across. Listen in on these conversations here on the She Talks Asia podcast.
Hi, everybody. Sarah and
Isa
here today and on our podcast for this episode, She Talks with Anka Griffiths.
We have with us Anka Griffiths, who is the CEO and co-founder of OM Health, which connects women to health experts around the world, and is an author of the book, Why Women Aren't Winning at Health, which comes out early of 2023.
Welcome to part two of our interview with Anka Griffiths on the She Talks Asia podcast, talking all about how women can win in health. For women that are kind of like listening to this podcast and wanting to already get a head start on their self-health journey, you had mentioned the pelvic floor, you had mentioned menstrual cycle. What are some other entry points that women could start researching on or understanding or actually just taking notice of in their bodies to get off on the right foot?
So to win.
To win at health, yeah. So I think, look, with OM, what we're doing is a little bit of, I would say, the hard work of figuring out where the needs are in terms of health, finding the best health experts on different matters. But now, and this is very much the second part of the book, because once I started, you know, speaking with experts and bringing all these tools and all these experts onto one platform, I realized that there was a second hurdle to women's health, and we cannot look at one without the other. And the second hurdle, which is just as big as the first one and just as dramatic, is ourselves. We sometimes are the ones who stop ourselves from interacting or allowing ourselves to care for our own body. But there's a history to that. So let me tell you a little bit of the history to it. Well, to sum it up, it's the fact that we've heard since the beginning of time that women's bodies are weaker, we're emotional, we're hormonal, hysteria, the word hysteria comes from Greek. And it was actually the first mental health disorder to be only associated with one sex, women. Women were hysteric because, first of all, because the doctors couldn't figure out the woman body. And they thought that our womb was traveling through our body looking for its spot. And that made us hysteric. And until it found it, we were hysteric. So, but that applies even to today, right? Where a lot of the time, studies come out and we see that women's pain is discounted because we're supposed to be a lot more hysteric about our health, right? So since the beginning of time, we've been told our bodies are weaker. That has gone to our subconscious brain. We think that our bodies are just somehow not as good as a male body, or that we have to pretend that everything's okay. You know, that's why a lot of the time that, you know, when I say to women, look, postpartum care is really important. They're like, no, I'm good. You know, I'm good. Cause like, yeah, I'm as if you're like supposed to prove that you don't need it. Right. When I talk to women about perimenopause and menopause, they're like, oh no, you know, I'm not there yet. And I'm like, well, you know, that transition starts in your late 30s. And it doesn't mean that you're there. It just means that you need to understand what's going to happen with your body in the next 10 years. Right. But we're fighting against all these cliches, all these prejudices, all these that there's a barrier that we're putting to supporting female health realities that we're experiencing because we want to prove it wrong. We want to say, I'm not that, right? We go back to work really quickly and we don't want to be the woman that has the baby brain, right? We don't want to be the woman that, as you know, has PMS or stuff like that. So for so long, us hearing that we're weaker, in, you know, the past 100 years, we've tried to push and become equal to men, right? In work and how we're treated in every way. But We've done that by aligning ourselves with purely male values or purely male-like, you know, bodies. And there's this expert on gender studies that says women's emancipation has become women's masculinization. Because, you know, you think about it, how you behave in an office and all of the values that are, you know, valued in work are male, you know, qualities. Nothing wrong with male qualities. They're great. But so is nurturing. So is, you know, multitasking. So is female traits. But we don't count those as valuable, right? So a big part of it, I would say, as women, all of this to say is value what your body is doing in that moment. I know we always say, you know, you have to live in the moment, but you really have to live in the moment. As in, what is the moment? Is that now you're pregnant? You know, that is that moment. And to be fair, when we're pregnant is the only time that we actually, you know, kind of care for our bodies with a purpose. We're actually doing it for the baby, but okay. But in the same way, you know, when you are postpartum, value that experience and support it. When you're there's nothing wrong with perimenopause. There's nothing wrong with menopause, but you need to understand it and support it in the right way. Do not avoid it. Avoiding it will mean that you will not give yourself the right things at the right time. Now, add to that whole history of, you know, women's bodies being weaker to our obsession of youth, right? So it's, again, that's what I mean by be with your body in the moment. Don't be with your body as in like, oh, that's how I was in my 20s. Because nothing's going to work if you treat your body as when it was in your 20s, you know? That's why women, a lot of the times in their 40s, they haven't changed anything. They try, you know, to exercise or to eat like they did when they're in their 20s, and it just doesn't work anymore. It doesn't mean that you're broken. It just means you're in a different phase. When you honor that, you're just going to flow through life so much easier. So be with your body in the moment is one. And two is do not ignore pain or imbalances in the body. Whatever Eastern or Western medicine, it tells you this. When you are suffering from something, whether it's sleep or whether it's gut issues or whatever it is, try to find the health experts to support you before it gets worse. And I think especially as women, we put everybody else first. And that's why a lot of women do get to their 40s. And perimenopause is one thing and menopause is another. But what is really happening in your 40s is that you put yourself last for your whole life and your body just says, okay, that's it, I'm done. And it just forces you to pay attention or you crash. So support your body, they say on the plane, put your own oxygen mask first before you put somebody else's, right? When you're coming from a place of health, physically and mentally, and it's not, we're never going to be perfect all the time, but that's when you can be the best that you can be for your family, for your couple, for your work, for everything. That's when you thrive, right? So we can wear a bit as a badge of honor the fact that we put ourselves last.
And that's an attitude that unfortunately can get passed on from generation to generation. They see how, you know, their parents have done it. Mothers before them has just never complained. Oh, my mom never complained about pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Always having that straight face. But personally, when I started understanding my period and understanding sort of like my cycle and just even what I should be consuming at different parts of my cycle and different, you know, like being in super high gear and making all these like commitments and dates and everything because I'm ovulating and then going through that period of when you have your actual period and, you know, that let me curl up in a blanket and, you know, be in my comfy shoes and just don't talk to me for a while. When I started honoring that, I realized that the revolution happens on an individual level, but can also be kind of fast tracked or fast forwarded by having more women in leadership that understand the cycle. Like women are massively productive on a month like on a month level, right? Men have this sort of like day-to-day, like, you know, schedule. But if you give a woman a project that's a month long compared to like, get me this end of day today, 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 the productivity, I think, is also massive. So it's a revolution on a medical front and a health and wellness front, but that needs to be, I think, supported by everything else, like the work and the childcare and that support system postpartum, the village. How important is the village?
The village is very important, but we need to let the village in. As in, you know, we need to ask for help, or we need to ask less of ourselves, or we need to stop looking at social media that tells us, you know, 1,000 different ways to be perfect. It's a lot of pressure on ourselves that we put on ourselves. So first layer, I would say, is, again, see what you can do for yourself. And I have this health expert that says, you know, do two, three things, I think, for yourself each day that is for no other reason than for yourself. As in, you know, it's not for your family, and it's not even for yourself to grow, like, I'm learning, you know, is it for my career, for something, just kind of something that where you care for yourself. We don't all have the luxury to do that all the time, but I think figuring out the layer of extra stress that we put on ourselves to perform or to try to be all things at all times is one thing. The second thing is, you know, asking or pushing people to help us in different ways. And then the community and the village, again, this is where I saw a huge difference living in Asia versus what's happening in North America, is when the village understands as well how to support the woman, that takes the pressure off of the woman. What I mean by that is, again, going back to postpartum, there is a respect for this time that comes in Asia for women to support their bodies in healing. And it's not the woman that needs to say, okay, I did a big thing, I need support. Everybody supports them. They come at it as if you don't, then there's a problem with that. But that is going to take a bit of time because, you know, we need to, like, the whole way, you know, this has come from hundreds of years of understanding of this issue. It's not going to happen too quickly. So if we wait for that village to shift mentality, it might take a little while. So let's do what we can in the moment, I would say. But going back to your example of menstrual health, I think, again, that's, you know, being with your body in that moment and what it does, and understand, because you're coming from a place of understanding. You understand the different phases, and you understand that there's different things that you can do. So the first thing that's key is that you don't have that expectation of to be linear like a man. You know that your body shifts. Now, the last thing that we don't know, and which is what we're working on both in the book and with the OM platform on, is to get women to understand that our bodies are very different, but it's not all bad, right? If I say menstrual cycle, the only thing that we can think about is, like, you know, PMS, and PMS, she's PMSing, it's that time of the month. Ooh. But did you know that with our hormone shifts, there's a time in the month when you're more creative? There's a time in the month when you understand human emotion better. There's a time in the month when you're, you know, you're more creative. And I'm not sitting here to say, like, you know, this is how you should, like, organize your agenda. I'm doing my brainstorming on, you know, this phase of my menstrual cycle. But there's values in that, right? There's positive that comes from that. It's not only the negative thing that we know about. And the more we know about that, the more we can be proud of our bodies as well.
It's been a crazy 4 years postpartum because the fourth trimester wasn't taken care of properly. And so, you know, just seeing the repercussions of not having that care has spanned far longer than I think it needs to. And so I just, you know, I find it so valuable what you're putting out there and putting into the world.
The other thing that I discovered is that shocked me, because I kind of thought, okay, well, the medical advances that are coming out there are just, you know, they're coming out there, and then doctors will dish them out when you go into their office, especially when you live in large financial hubs, you know, London, Paris, New York, California as well, Hong Kong. You know, you're a bit spoiled for choice, I would say, compared to what others might have in middle America, other parts of, you know, other countries. And then I realized that actually there's a 17-year gap between the time that, you know, new medical research comes out until the time it's applied across the board with all practitioners. 17 years. So we're going back to heart health, you know, that this the understanding that men and women have different hearts has been out there for over 20 years. Yet to this day, it's not systematically applied, you know, across the board with practitioners. So with OM, what we are doing is figuring out how to take the insights of these health experts. Today, you can connect with them online, but how do we take this and make it even more accessible? So this is what we're working on continually for women and men from across the world, because Isa, as we were talking about, Ben needs to understand postpartum too. Yes, he's going to need to be there.
Of course.
Yeah. So how do we get this information from the top medical and health experts from across the world into the hands of people everywhere in a way that's easy to consume, right? So that's what we're working on right now. The book is definitely one. You know, you're going to have in the book, you have all the information of this is how the system is. This is how you can work with the system. This is what's happening in your mind. This is how you can, you know, go, you know, work with yourself to get to the right place. So the book is very much one of these tools where we want, you know, people everywhere to have access to this information. And the last thing that I will say is, even though I speak as, you know, one of the founders of the platform, I am not a health expert myself. And I challenge people to listen to health experts once, you know, they figured out that they're the ones that they should listen to, because everybody has an opinion about health today, you know? And the reason why I wrote this book with Dr. Alison McGregor, Dr. Marjorie Jenkins, but we also have a panel of health experts from across the world that chime in on different parts, is for me not to say, okay, this is what I think, you know, I don't have the experience, I don't have the education, but I also don't have the clinical experience to say this. And when you talk to somebody that has both of these things, you have a very different conversation.
Awesome. Well, when the book comes out, to anybody that's listening, if you, I will buy a couple of copies, Anca, that I hope I can gift to people that may not have access to the book. I think this is information that everybody needs to have. It's, you know, I joke in the past that the PhD is actually like a patriarchal system and that we should invent something completely different called like the MHD for like a matriarch, you know what I mean? Just like an expert in anything through the lens of a woman. Yeah. Lisa, thank you for bringing Anca onto our radar and into our sphere.
I told you. No, it's just because of She Talks Asia, my awareness around women's issues, women's health, plus, of course, my personal journey, it's just opening our eyes, right? That there is a need for a lot of this. And I love that what you're basically saying is we have experts, but there is a lot of opinion out there. And sometimes, who do you listen to? Who do you go to? And I remember when I first told the girls that I was pregnant, both Bianca and Sarah were like, do not look at Google, especially late at night, because it's a rabbit hole. It's a black hole and it can pull you in, suck you in. And it's really a lot of, I think there is innate wisdom in every woman, in every human. And it's sifting through the opinions online. It's finding that expert and checking to see what works for you as an individual. Let's say Sarah says, this is what worked for me. And then I try it out and it doesn't work for me. I love what you said, Anca, that I don't love it because I wish it were different, but I love that you acknowledged it and you pointed it out, that you said that the second hurdle that you came across is that we are the hurdle, women, and how, of course, not because this is what we wanted, the stories, the generational stories, narratives that were passed on and our belief system is currently at. But we are, that's why we're having these discussions. We are looking to change that narrative for ourselves and for women everywhere else. So to make that empowered decision, you said that for ourselves, to question, why am I taking this? Why am I buying this? And you know, I just realized, Ben, always, I don't know if because we're hardwired differently, I was raised not to question the whys. Ben always tells me, he's a why. Why? Why are you doing this? Why are you taking this? Did you look at the label? Like stuff like that. Like, but it's also kind of, I know that it's also a personal thing. That's how I'm hardwired, but I can unlearn, right? And through just these empowered choices, we can win at health. And that's what you're teaching us.
And with a little change in pace with our lightning round, and these are going to be questions from all sorts of corners. And here we go. Who is the coolest person that you follow online?
I have a health expert that is amazing, Amanda Thiebe, that looks at, you know, women's health in an amazing way. She's super funny. She, you know, is very empowering about what she puts out there and, you know, all the, you know, the resources that she gives women. So I really like her approach to social media. And she does this thing that's really cool where she kind of calls out BS when she sees it online. So more of that, please, from health experts.
Is there a book that you are reading now that that you would recommend? It can be the one you wrote too.
Yeah, I'm going to highly recommend our book when it's coming out. That's all I've been doing for the past years with Dr. Alison McGregor and Dr. Marjorie Jenkins, just at this. So yes, our book, nothing else.
Entitled?
Why Women Aren't Winning at Health, But Can.
So what's your favorite song, or what is a currently looped song? You know, cause it could vary.
Yeah, so okay. So you find out a lot about a person, but right now on loop in our house is Cocomelon.
See?
So, I, you know, the Cocomelon, and it starts with, first you're like, oh God. And then after a while, you're like, yeah, okay, I can do with this.
But for you, that's for the family.
That's definitely what's on loop. I'll say this. But for me, I would say, what do I listen to? I listen to a lot of hip hop. Love hip hop. Out of the US. Yeah. So anything.
Well, I guess there's something all three of us have in common. Everybody's like smiling.
You kind of name it. I love it. From Cardi B to anything. Love it.
I'm going to wrap with this question. What is your message to your older self?
To my older self?
That's right.
Okay, God. To my older self, just stop overthinking where things are going to be. Yeah, just stop, you know, kind of over obsessing about work, obsessing about a lot of things. And I kind of tell myself that in the moment, but I don't really listen to myself. Yeah.
Well, now it's on record and in the archives, and you can play it back as much as you need to hear it. And we will continue to play this entire episode back, because I tell you, really, the things that have been, the knowledge that has been dropped, the gems that have been dropped in this episode will be relevant for years and years to come. Anca, thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the She Talks Asia podcast. Watch out for our next episode for more inspiring and insightful stories. You can also check us out or shoot us a message over at She Talks Asia on Instagram and Facebook, or via shetalksasia.com. Next time here on the She Talks Asia podcast.
Sometimes we're so quick to judge something that happens to us, but we forget that it's actually how we define it that affects our experience of a situation or something new that happens in our life.
Catch you next week.